here's a story from The World.
President Biden today pledged $4 billion for global vaccines. That's real money. But wealthy nations have already bought up more than half of the global vaccine supply, and millions of people living in countries at war are at special risk. So some policymakers and aid groups are calling for global vaccination ceasefires to halt conflicts at least long enough for those living in war zones to get COVID vaccines. Jan Egeland thinks vaccine ceasefires aren't a pipe dream. He's the former UN Secretary General for Humanitarian Affairs and current head of the Norwegian Refugee Council.
It's difficult, but it's doable for the simple reason that if there is one thing commanders, armed men, dislike, it is a pandemic. It's epidemic disease that will cross front lines, affect their soldiers, and infect their civilian populations. So they have a self-interest in such a ceasefire. The problem very often is lack of unity of command, many different parties to a conflict. So it's a big job, but it is doable.
Where has it worked before?
Well, I was myself involved in Syria when I led an international group of countries involved in securing access to civilian populations. There were vaccination drives led by the World Health Organization and UNICEF, and ceasefires were negotiated district by district, region by region, and largely succeeded. Even in Syria, Central America, there have been many such ceasefires, El Salvador, Guatemala, the civil wars of Central America. I think it's more difficult, for example, in Eastern Congo, in North Kivu, one of the areas where Ebola now is again spreading, there are 120 armed groups. So how do you negotiate a ceasefire with all of them?
Now, UK Foreign Secretary Dominic Raab has been urging the UN Security Council to call for a vaccine ceasefire. But isn't that putting the cart ahead of the horse, given that so many countries are too impoverished to even have a supply of vaccines? I mean, isn't the issue right now equitable access to the vaccine before calling for ceasefires?
Indeed. Today, 130 countries haven't even had one inoculation, not even one. But there is vaccine in the pipeline. There is this COVAX initiative under the World Health Organization. The US is also now pledging money. So in the course of the year, there will be vaccines coming. By that time, there should be a plan for the rollout, and that would require painstaking negotiations with all of the parties.
I'm curious, can you think of a place where a ceasefire for vaccinations happened and then mediators and others involved were actually able to build on that pause to halt the conflict itself?
I've been involved in many peace processes through my time. And among the early confidence building measures, there is always, we would often call it a pause in the fighting to do vaccination drives or other health campaigns, an exchange of prisoners could follow, the safe passage of refugees could follow, and later would come the much more difficult questions of sharing of power, constitutional reform, amnesties for fighters, and all of that.
I want to get back to the supply issue, because when it comes to COVID-19, we hear time and time again that no one is safe until everyone is safe. But affluent countries seem to be monopolizing vaccine supplies. Is that just the cold, hard reality?
So far it is. I mean, 75% of vaccination so far has been in 10 out of the 200 nations and territories on Earth. So 190 countries share the remaining 25%, and of those, 130 countries haven't even received the vaccine yet. So it has to change dramatically.
It's interesting because even now in 2021, people in wealthy nations tend to talk about sharing the vaccine as a question of kind of charity and helping out, and can the wealthy afford to be generous? That sort of thinking feels like a relic from the past, doesn't it?
It does, because indeed, in a globalized world, the pandemic will come back to haunt us in the north if we don't help societies in the south. The ideal would be all health personnel in all countries would have it first, then other vulnerable groups, then humanitarian workers across the world, and then in the end, office workers that, like you and I, would get it. This would be the rational way. World is not a rational place, unfortunately.
You work with refugees. What refugee crisis do you see as the most urgent in terms of needing vaccines?
Syria has caused the largest number of displaced people in a generation. So that would be my number one place to have vaccinations across the board of all of these displaced populations. Yemen is the largest humanitarian crisis on earth, where there is starvation and malnutrition among millions. Venezuela in the Western Hemisphere. I mean, there are really too many candidates for this. Norwegian Refugee Council has 15,000 humanitarian workers across 30 armed conflicts. None of our staff has gotten the vaccine yet, and none of the people we work for, millions of displaced people, have even seen a vaccination. With one exception, Jordan has given priority even to Syrian refugees, and I want to hold up Jordan as one shining example of some solidarity.
Jan Egeland heads the Norwegian Refugee Council. He's also the former UN Undersecretary General for Humanitarian Affairs and Emergency Relief. Thanks so much, Jan Egeland.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.